Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Oley Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Oley Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
All right, what's up? I'm back again, Oley Insider. I am Jay Fratt. That's Erica Engelhart.
Hey, everybody.
This is Oley Insider Podcast, brought to you by Positive Intentions Media. So, real quick, what we're going to do is we are just coming up on one-third of the way through this particular legislative session, and we're going to update. We're going to go through all 12 bills that we originally tracked at the beginning of this podcast series. We're going to update you on where they're at, and we might even make a decision not to follow, not to continue following some. But here we go. This is us doing a major update of every bill tracked. If you want to play along, if you want to follow along, we're going to go through these in the same order that we put them in the show notes of episode one. So the same order as the show notes of episode one, we're going to go through all these bills. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, you're ready, Erica. Is the listener ready? Can you tap on your phone or your speaker and let me know you're ready? Okay. Okay, I heard a couple taps. All right, so first up, HB 1133, concerning sexually violent predators. The analysis of this bill shows five strategic points, with the fifth being the exact language of a separate bill put forward by Representative Couture, representative out of the Republican out of LD 35. He sponsored HB 1091. And interestingly, when I was in the hearing for HB 1133, he pointed out that his bill was essentially the fifth major point of that bill, which was very confusing to me at the time. Why would they do that? Well, to make things even more complicated, Travis's bill, HB 1091, has passed through committee with a do pass recommendation. So that small piece has passed through committee with a do pass. However, the piece that it's the broader piece that it's a part of, HB 1133, has not made it out of committee yet. It has had a public hearing, which we participated in with this podcast, but it has it's going to be an executive session on February 20th.
Interesting. So I wonder, what if the rest of the bill doesn't go through? Can this other bill that's already went through, will that stay?
I believe so. And his special part of this bill, just give me one second, I'm going to open this up, is that fifth point, prohibits a person from earning supervision compliance credit on any cause served concurrently with an LRA subject to supervision by the Department of Corrections. I know. What are all these? We have all these acronyms and abbreviations that we have to learn. LRA, I'm going to try to use my memory. LRA, what does that stand for?
Beats me.
LRA, less restrictive alternative. So,
okay.
So it deals with prohibits a person from earning supervision compliance credit on any cause served concurrently with a less restrictive alternative. So they can't concurrently earn supervision compliance credit when they're operating in a less restrictive alternative. I think what has happened before is they get put on LRA, and once they're done, they're just released out into the wild, in other words. So I think this bill is trying to create layers of protection for the society. And this is just one small piece of it. If I got that wrong, please email the email that doesn't exist to the show and tell me what a moron I am. So, all right. So what do you think? Is this clear, even though it's not? What's your theory on why they would pass and it would sit with the speaker this one part of a larger bill that was put forth as a separate bill?
I'm a little confused by it, but I think, you know, what I'm curious about was which bill came first. Was it HB 1133 or 1091? Because maybe the HB 1133 just kind of, you know, ate that bill or kind of consumed it and added it in because it was so related, you know, or was it a completely planned this way from the beginning? That's what I'm thinking about here. So
I am not sure if we're going to put politics in, which is unfortunate because the good of the people should be of top priority. However, Travis Couture is a Republican. Maybe he did think of this particular piece. And being a Republican, maybe his bill to adjust sexually violent predator legislation would not get all the way through and be voted positively. So because this was
a... Strategic.
Because it's a solid piece of legislation, it was added in to 1133. Now, why do pass this smaller piece in separately? I'm not quite sure. You know what? It'd be a great question. Why don't we ask? We're going to take a little note here for the next episode. Maybe that's what we'll do is we'll keep notes on, gosh darn it, let's think of these great questions, and then we'll hit these representatives.
Perfect. I think we should go straight to the source to get those answers.
Absolutely. That's what Ole Insider is all about. All right. Next bill, HB 1027, concerning housing of inmates in state correctional facilities. This was submitted by Representative Jacobson, Republican out of LD 25, co-sponsored by Matt Marshall, Republican out of LD 2. This is that bill that's trying to get
men out of women's prisons.
Yes, thank you. You're very plain spoken. I was trying to be more politically correct. Biological men who consider themselves women who have committed violent and or sexual crimes against biological women, trying to get them the heck out of prisons where biological women are housed. How'd I do?
Perfect. Yep. Because right now, as it is, they're sharing the same rooms and it's not working out very well.
Yes. And not working out very well means the rights of women are being trampled upon and sexual assaults and rapes are happening in these prisons where women, they shouldn't have to be worried about being violated like that by a biological man.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, we think this bill is important. It has not been scheduled for a committee hearing yet.
That's disappointing.
Disappointing. All right. So HB, and I don't want to put this one on the chopping block. I think we should highlight this if it continues to not be heard, because I've done some research and I'm considering doing a podcast for the Conservative Hippie podcast, my personal podcast, because there are egregious examples of violence and sexual assault in women's prisons committed by these biological men that consider themselves women. And the state apparently considers them women.
They're pretending they're women.
Yes, and the state is
going along right with it.
Yes. Yep. So I don't want to put this one on the chopping block. I think this needs to be highlighted.
I agree.
Next up, HB 1018, adding fusion energy to facilities that may obtain site certification for the purposes of Chapter 80.50 RCW, filed by Shavers, Democrat, LD10. We followed this one. This is of personal interest to myself. We learned that it was a suite of legislation that has been what's it called, agency request, or it was basically legislation that was written and encouraged by EFSEC, that Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council. Ooh, damn, nailed that from memory right off the top.
And that's pretty good.
Thank you.
That's a mouthful.
And this this FSEC, we even spoke with them and had them on the podcast and learned about it. This passed. This, and when I say passed, I'm not saying it passed through. Let me see. This bill's future true valuation council passed. Yes, this went through committee with a do pass. It went to the floor of the House and it passed the House 95-1. And it is now moved to the Senate Environment, Energy, and Technology Committee.
Moving right along.
Moving along. And one of the questions that you and I had this week that I hit up an insider who works in the legislature is we wondered if when a bill passes the House and it goes to the Senate and it's in committee at the Senate, is there another hearing, another public hearing where public testimony could be heard? And the answer was yes.
That's very exciting. That gives people another opportunity to speak up on certain bills if it gets to that point.
Yes, and I was thinking in particular, we're going to get to this bill. You know what? I'm going to hold off because we'll get to that bill eventually. But HB 1018, shining star of R12, has passed on. It's in the Senate.
Woo-hoo!
So we'll be covering that when it gets a committee hearing in the Senate. Next up, you know what? Let's see. On our legislative bill, in terms of the website, if you click on the original bill on the House side, will it send you a link on the Senate side? Right now, it says the first reading, not officially read and referred until adoption of introduction report. So we'll have to keep going back to see if those links will then make themselves available or if it disappears out of the House side, the HB side of the bill. I bet you the links will be there. What do you think?
I think it's still going to work. I think that they even keep their name when they go to their name and number when they go to the other side. So I think they should still work, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, we're laymans in some ways, coming along with us as we ask dumb questions and get dumb answers. But you know what? A lot of people need answers to those dumb questions, not just me. So let's move on. We've got HB 1113. This is concerning accountability and access to service for individuals charged with a misdemeanor. I think it's the last show that we did was on this particular legislation that we went to the hearing and we kind of discussed how confusing it was. Was it good? Was it bad? Who's dismissing all these charges? Is it the judges or is it the prosecutors? Does this bill have good intent? If you want to listen to that particular episode, I believe it was episode number... Do you remember what the last episode was, Erica?
I do not know.
I tell you what, the guy who edits this podcast is going to have a lot of work ahead of him when you and I try to just do a conversational style in this analysis. I pity the guy that does all the editing.
I mean, too. I feel really bad for him.
He must just be a champion. Let's just a volunteer of the highest order. Episode number 6. So yes, it was HB 113 dismissal directive was our last show. So if you want to learn up and dive into HB 1113 a little more, be sure to listen to that show. So that was heard in executive committee session with no status change. So it hasn't made it out of committee yet. Let me just go to that, the legislative website. Oh, it looks like it was updated. So as of February 10th, executive action taken in the House Committee on Community Safety, majority first substitute bill be substituted, do pass. So it received a do pass out of executive committee, but it hasn't been sent to the House floor or the Rules Committee or Ways and Means or those things they do once it passes out of committee. So we'll have to keep looking at this one to see the changes.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, another star in the 12, SB 5000. So Senate Bill 5000, adopting the Evergreen State as the state nickname. I think we highlighted this one in episode 2, where we even heard from the sponsor, Senator Jeff Wilson, Republican out of LD19, and this passed out of committee in the Senate, and it passed on the Senate floor 49-0. And it's sent.
Wow.
And it's sent to the House State Government and Tribal Relations Committee. So it's moving on to that next stage where it'll be heard in committee in the House. I mean, we don't really what's there to talk about this one?
Well, you know, I did hear someone say in one of the hearings that this is one of those good little bills, you know, that everybody likes it. That's why it passed with flying colors. So hopefully it'll do the same thing in the next chamber there.
What's strange is that Senator Wilson said that this bill has been proposed before and never passed. So it's strange that this year that it's been brought up before in the legislative process. And this year, maybe they're looking for goodwill amongst Republicans and Democrats. And that's just the grease that will get it.
Well, you know,
through.
They are butting heads on quite a bit of issues. So having something to get along on kind of makes sense.
Even if it's a benign as our state nickname. All right, next up, another Senate bill, SB 5020, providing property tax relief to senior citizens. This was brought forth by Republican Fortunato out of LD 31. This would... I'll just read a brief of the bill. Many of our senior citizens are literally being taxed out of their home. A family friend of mine who lives on the east side of King County paid the same amount in property taxes last year as she and her husband paid to purchase the home when they bought it in 1966. She is 88 years old and has already paid her fair share in taxes. So this bill would give property tax relief, I believe, to people over 75. Do you remember that cutoff age?
It was 75 or 77, but it was up there.
But, you know, I don't think this bill has had any hearings yet. And it kind of is going against all of the other tax bills that we're seeing introduced right now. So,
you know, I don't know if you want to keep following this one or if you think we should drop this one, but it has had no activity.
Why? What do you mean it's going against the theme of all the other tax bills that's being heard in the legislature?
Well, this one would you know, provide tax relief for seniors, but all of the other bills are trying to raise taxes. So it just doesn't seem like it fits in with their theme.
Good point. Now, he has got some co-sponsors. Last time, he was the only one there. He's got Senator Christian, Hasegawa, Senator Hawley, Senator McCune, Senator Jeff Wilson. So he's gotten some people to sign on. But yes, I think this one might get the chopping block, most likely not going to be heard. And I hope the Republicans are smart enough to highlight this bill and its death, because it's so meaningful to a certain cohort of our community.
Absolutely.
You know, people, right? That's a valid example of an older person who is now paying more property taxes than they paid for their home. That's ridiculous, to be honest.
Absolutely, yeah, it is. It's really sad.
Yeah, somebody of that age, if they want to live their remaining years in their home, they shouldn't be forced to sell.
Exactly.
Just because of the state, essentially. So,
yep.
Good idea, not being heard. All right, let's get to the three gun bills. All right, I did have my fingers also triggered this time. Did I do better gun
sounds? I was expecting
that. This time? Better. I'm still working on my gun sounds. So HB 1132, enhancing public safety by limiting bulk purchases and transfers of firearms and ammunition. Ooh, this is the one. This is the one where Oli Insider covered it, and we uncovered misinformation at the heart of legislation. And we shall see what impact that has. This bill is the one that creates time restrictions on gun purchases and categorizes infractions as a Class 1 civil infraction. The bill would limit the purchase of firearms to one per 30-day period for each individual and limit ammunition purchases to 100 rounds of .50 caliber and 1,000 rounds of any other caliber within a 30-day period. This passed through committee, and it's waiting to be scheduled for a floor vote. In other words, this bill, HB 1132, is on the floor waiting for the Speaker of the House to put it on the floor for a vote. And this is one where you and I are keenly interested in it, because if it passes the House and it goes to Senate, I absolutely will feel a civic duty to apprise the Senate of the misinformation that is at the heart of this legislation.
Yes, it would absolutely be your responsibility. I agree.
And we did a show. I'm going to quickly try to look and see which one that was. Gun Bills Committee Showdown, maybe? I think so. That was episode...
Was it three?
Come on, computer. Episode number three. Good memory, Erica. So episode number three, if you want to go back and check that, it was episode number three of the Only Insider podcast. All right, next up, SB 5098, another gun bill, restricting the possession of weapons on the premises of state or local public buildings, parks, or playground facilities where children are likely to be present. Save the children! And county fairs and county fairs facilities, brought by Representative Valdez, Democrat, LD 46. This bill is well described as it expands the limits on possession of weapons to public community areas and official government facilities, all in the name of where children could be present. This passed through the committee. It's referred to the Ways and Means Committee, and now it's referred to Transportation Committee, where it sits. This is an interesting one. What do you make of this committee merry-go-round that it's under?
You know, I'm not sure what to make of it. It seems like, you know, it's just kind of going through this process, but it does seem quite a bit like a merry-go-round. So now, is it in the Transportation Committee of the House?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is one way, and maybe, you know, we're going to jot this down in our notes. Maybe we need to ask a legislature about this one, SB. So ask a senator about SB
5098.
And the question we're going to ask is this one way? Is this one way a bill is stymied? Because it does seem like it's getting the merry-go-round. It passed out of committee, the Senate Committee on Law and Justice, with a due pass. And then on motion, it was referred to Ways and Means. And then executive action was taken in Ways and Means to send it to the Transportation Committee. So maybe because it deals with public sector parks, these facilities, it has to go to the Transportation Committee to see, you know, how it would fit in with what's in their purview. Or is this a way to stymie a bill?
Yeah, you very well could be right. But also, if I remember correctly, this bill did have information in there about where people could store their firearms in their vehicles. So I'm wondering if that's why it was sent to transportation. I'm not sure.
Okay, so we're going to get the information on that. We're going to get an update direct from a senator. We'll get that soundbite for you to see where we're at on SB 5098, if this is just impending or if it's imploding. All right, SB 5099. Ooh, I get triggered a bit. It sounds too much like 5599. Anyways, SB 5099, protecting the public from gun violence by establishing additional requirements for the business operations of licensed firearms dealers. I know this one. I know this one very well. It's basically creating a whole new procedure within the Washington State Patrol for background checks, I believe. And that's for this is written in the name of protecting the public from gun violence. It creates a formal procedure to add the Washington State Patrol as a licensing regulating body in charge of vetting licensed firearms dealers. So it creates a whole new layer of to get a license. This is the one, if I'm not mistaken, I've been told has been shut down. But let's see where it's at, because I see that it's passed through committee and now it sits in the Ways and Means Committee. So how that's where it goes to die certainly seems like it's in the process to the Senate floor to me. What do you think?
I think that's very possible. And I wouldn't cry if this one did die. From the sound of the testimony and everything, this could potentially put a lot of gun stores out of business. So because it also included they needed to have like new training for all of their employees and all kinds of requirements. So
it's just another they're trying to add another layer of bureaucracy. It's very strange in the fact that licenses aren't usually handled this way. So it's adding a whole new aspect, especially putting it under the Washington State Patrol. And I know that right now, background checks, so not of dealers, but of just of purchasers, is way backlogged. So it's almost like they're grinding the system down to try to, limit our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
Anyways they can. All with misinformation guiding their light. Oh, I'm sorry. That's too much subjective.
That's okay. It's the truth.
Commentary. Yeah. All right. Next up, education bills. We've got three education bills. These are the last of them. We thank you for hanging on with us as we freestyle in this particular episode. SB 5080, making financial education instruction a graduation requirement. So we covered this bill. If I'm not mistaken, weren't you at the hearing for this one?
Yes, I did listen to the hearing. And yes, we did cover it also in one of our episodes. I don't remember which number.
Okay. Well, this has not moved since its initial committee public hearing. So it is stuck right now, still in committee. We'll have to see if it gets... if it gets any kind of action within the committee.
Yes, we'll keep an eye on that one.
I remember doing the podcast on this particular one. What do you think would slow this down? Why are they against this?
I think it could have to do with potentially some costs or, people were arguing that the graduation requirements are already, the kids already have a full schedule for graduation requirements. How would they fit this in and stuff like that? So I'm not sure.
Yeah, and this is one of those agency request bills. My memory is kicking in.
By the treasurer.
This was brought forth by the state treasurer. So you and I highlighted it because we thought, hey, if this is an agency request bill brought by the treasurer, who's a Democrat, this might have a higher likelihood of passing. So let's watch this one. So far, it seems stuck.
Yeah, because that hearing was a little while ago, so it hasn't moved since then. So it's definitely stuck on something.
You know what I'm going to do? The state treasurer's office was so nice. I am going to make a note that I want to ask about SB 5080, ask treasurer where they at, question mark.
And just what's to get the holdup?
Yeah, just to get their opinion on the legislative process, see what they have to say. All right, next up, SB 5123, expanding protections for certain students to promote inclusivity in public schools. I was not at this hearing. My tag team partner, poor Erica Engelhart, she did have to go to this hearing to witness it. Filed by Senator Nobles, a Democrat from LD 28, that's up there, UP, Lakewood area. State law already prohibits discrimination due to race, creed, religion, color, national origin, sexual orientation, military status, people with disabilities, and gender expression. This bill seeks to add ethnicity, homelessness, immigration status, as well as expand on defined gender identity.
Yes, I remember this one very well, actually. So this bill, from my understanding, has passed through the committee, but it's sitting in the Ways and Means.
Yes, yes. And we have that question earlier about, is this one way a bill is stymied? It seems like there might be something to the legislative process when a bill goes to Ways and Means. That might be another location that it kind of goes to die. So we can only hope on this particular bill, as nice as it all sounds, extra protections for special classes when everyone already has the same protections probably isn't good legislation.
Right.
So on to the final bill, HB 1140, establishing Empower Ed scholarships using educational savings accounts, filed by Representative Couture, Republican, LD 35, who is, I would say, in this first third of the legislative session on the Republican side, Travis Couture is really standing out as a media darling and a legislative stud.
I definitely agree with you. I watched a hearing that he spoke at for a different bill, and I was quite impressed. I thought he was doing pretty good.
He touches Thurston County, where I live, so I have a familiarity with Representative Couture. And I did happen, this bill received a public hearing, but it has not moved to executive session. I will say I spoke with somebody very familiar with this bill at that hearing, and unfortunately, they do not expect this bill to pass through committee. And it is traditional. Republicans put forward school choice legislation each year, and it does get
shut down every time.
Yes, it does get shut down every time. And this very close insider that spoke to me off the record said that it was expected to be shut. This one, as good as it is, as honest as it is, as needed as it is for parents that are educating their children, it is most likely not going to pass out of committee. So,
but, you know, I think that I do appreciate that they still would try to introduce it, you know, year after year, because even if they don't have faith that it will pass, I think that it should still, you know, this conversation should still be relevant within the legislators. So I do appreciate them continuing to try to fight that, even though it may not go anywhere.
And I'm not here to give advice to Republicans, but boy, sure seems like you could market these great bills and get some highlights on how they get shut down. Seems like a good marketing campaign.
Sometimes
sometimes you talk about legislation you're proud of that passes. Sometimes you need to highlight the great legislation that gets crushed by the opposing party.
100%. We saw that with another bill that they were working on that had to do with the kids. So they can do the same thing with this and highlight exactly what's going wrong here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've gone over. We're always trying to keep these episodes under 30 minutes. But there's an update. I think we decided to axe the Fortunato, the bill. Was that the only one that we axed today?
It is the only one we axed. Yeah, a couple others. They still have no activity, but we want to keep an eye out them just because we still have a little bit of hope in there.
Yeah, and we're going to be covering these hearings. It's kind of exciting going through the process. Now we have a couple bills that have gone through the House side and are going to be heard on the Senate side. And now we've got a bunch of questions here that I'm going to seek answers from the representatives. So thank you for joining us as we journey and train ourselves as good parents and involved citizens, learning about this legislative process in a lifetime training exercise that is the Ole Insider Podcast.
Thank you for joining us, everyone.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.